I don't know what we're praying about, but when I hugged you this morning, I could feel something coming off of you. And I'm going to pray that it just comes right on off. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over her right now. And God, every bit of frustration, every bit of doubt, every bit of not good enough, Lord, I speak to that right now in Jesus' name, Lord. And I thank you, God, that, Lord, she's more than enough. And God, I plead right now a peace of God over her life right now. God, every desire in this heart, God, you've met it. Lord, who's like Kayla? God, I don't even know anybody else like her. So, God, right now, you know full well what's needed here. And so, God, I thank you that you give her what she needs. And, Lord, I thank you that you give her what she wants also. God, right now, every bit of heaviness, I tell it to come off. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome to Paris Christian Center this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. I want to tell you that God is still on the throne and that He's still performing miracles. He's still healing people. He's still blessing people. He's still putting people's lives back together. He is still freeing people that want to be free. And so right now, I want you to look at what you're doing. And what you're doing is you're standing. You're not standing out of a routine. You're not standing just because the pastor says, get your butt up and stand up. You're standing because God told you that you could stand through anything. He told you that He would give you victory, and He has. And so right now, if there's something going on in your life and you say, God, I need you to meet me in this place, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, all over the place this morning, God, I plead the blood of Jesus over every person, God, every one of them that's in a trial. Lord, I thank you, God, that you're still the King of Kings. God, you're still the Lord of Lords. And Lord, right now, I declare over their life, God, peace in Jesus' name. I thank you for finances coming in where they're needed, God. Lord, I thank you for healing that people are depending on. And God, right now, for every person that's suffering an addiction, God, and they want to be free, Lord, I ask that you would breathe recovery into their life, God. And Lord, for every person, Lord, that's watching on Facebook Live right now, God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for that person. God, I thank you that you're making them well. God, I thank you that you're giving them peace. Lord, I bind up depression in this place right now, and I tell it to go in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is always good to be with you here. And just for our visitors' sake, I always like to give people a little disclaimer because I don't want them to be caught off guard. By the time you come to my church, you already know you're going to get something a little not run-of-the-mill. I'm a hot-blooded Puerto Rican, Italian, Arkansan, blonde-headed pastor, and I will tell it to you just like it is. If it offends you, you're going to have to get over it because the Word of God will offend you because it'll tell you that you need to change. Amen. And so if you get offended in here, I want you to just ask yourself, am I offended or am I convicted? Because you're probably convicted. And if you're offended, don't tell that to me because it's not going to do you any good. But Paris Christian Center is an interdenominational ministry, and what that means is that at this place, we do not focus on whether you're a Baptist. We don't focus on whether you're a Catholic. I'm married to a Catholic man. He's wonderful. And that's not the main focus. The main focus here, and it's always been this way, do you love Jesus? Do you know Jesus? If you left this life today, would you make it into heaven? Amen. So that's what we're going to focus on this morning. I'm going to preach a message to you that's very, very close to my heart. And the title of it is this, Understanding the Misunderstanding. Understanding the Misunderstanding. Now that is a play on words. It's just to get your tongue all weirded out, hunt yearning. But there are many times throughout a person's life where they have misunderstandings with people. And many times those misunderstandings are never really addressed. And so as time goes on, They're swept under the rug, and they still cause us grief. They still cause us pain. They still cause us offenses. They still cause us irritations and angers. And, you know, I have been living through a misunderstanding for about 6 months now, and it has really grieved me to my core. And as I opened the Word of God, and I've never seen this in here up until just the other day, God began to minister to me about this because, you know what, misunderstandings among believers, they're going to happen, but they should not stay there. There should not stay a continual, perpetual hurt feeling, an offense, an irritation with somebody. That should not continually dwell in you. Amen? Because it's going to cause a root of bitterness. It's going to cause a root of low tolerance for that person. It's going to cause a root of something to grow inside of you. And where there's a root, something is going to take a hold of your life. And one day you'll wake up and that thing's got you. You're a miserable, miserable person. And you don't want to be miserable, but you're miserable. And so I don't want anybody here to have that problem. I've had it before. And it's very unpleasant. And so turn with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to begin to read here. And what I'm going to do, and Alyssa said something to me on Wednesday night and really made me feel like I got a pat on the back. Not that I need any more pats on the back, but it made me feel good. And she said, you know, Pastor Kelly, one of the reasons why we started coming to Parish Christian Center is because I can understand what you're talking about when you preach. And let me tell you something. We were very faithful Bible readers when I was growing up, so much so that we woke up every morning at 5:30 and we had a Bible study and we read the Bible my entire childhood. And I don't have anything negative to say. That's an inheritance that I have. And the Word is inside of me today because of that principle that my parents taught me. But I do want to put this out there. You can read the Bible all day long. And if you do not understand what you are reading, it's not going to do you any good. I'm going to take this a step further. You can sit in this pew, and you can have your own pew that you like to sit in every Sunday, but if all you're doing is coming to church and that's it, that's not going to do you any good either. You have to be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. And you cannot be a doer of the Word if you don't understand the Word. So what we're going to do is we're going to go, I have three places that we're turning to today because I want you to really grasp what God is trying to say. Because how many of you have ever been inside of a misunderstanding and it's terrible? It really, I don't think there's something that'll get you more irritated than when you're misunderstood or when you misunderstand somebody. It's irritating. So we're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 12. And here's Paul. And Paul is writing, and he's explaining some things because he has this church all upset because he has changed his plans multiple times. He was supposed to come and visit this church in Corinth that he founded, and he kept changing his time where he was going to visit. And they felt brushed off. And so they were offended at him. And so he is, in response to that offense, he's writing to them and he's telling them what's going on. And so he says, now this is our boast. And what that means is, this is my side of the story. Now look, we're going to go all throughout the whole world of being misunderstood and misunderstandings. And I want to tell you something. There's your side, there's their side, and there's the truth. Okay? Now, the problem is when people are so untruthful in their own selves they can't be honest with their self. So you have to keep yourself in check. And one of the ways that you do that is practice being honest with yourself. Now, one of the ways that you can practice being honest with yourself is, you know what? When you're wrong about something, you need to say out loud, "I'm wrong." Why is that? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. You know what? Intelligence, there's nothing more intelligent than you telling yourself, "Self, I was wrong about that." You know why? Because if you will get in a habit of calling yourself on your own nonsense, you'll be less likely to continue that nonsense. Amen? If we got into a practice of immediately going to the people that we've offended or hurt or disappointed or whatever. See, if we didn't sleep on it 2, 3, 4, 5 years, if we got after that Jill just like that, see, what would the world be like if people, you know, were quick to apologize? They were quick to show grace. They were quick to show mercy. What would this world be? It would look so much different. That starts with us. It starts with us, and it starts with the ability to say, you know what, I was wrong. Most people, here's what most people can say, and this, unfortunately, is where I'm at a lot of times, and I hate this about myself, Alyssa, but I have to be honest with myself. One of the ways that I keep myself in check is I minister like this. I don't care to get up here and share all my garbage, because here's what I know. If I don't share my garbage, y'all will never share yours. You can never be honest with yourself if you're sitting under a pastor that makes you think that they're perfect. That's never going to do anybody any good. But too many times I know in my life I have said this. I said it just the other day, and it's awful. Well, I was wrong, but let me tell you what they did. Because they really screwed up. Anybody else like that? God said, "Kelly, I got to get you to a point, girl, where you can say, I messed up," and you leave it at that. See, you don't got to add that second part. Because look here, Alyssa, here's the truth. It's irrelevant what they did. It's irrelevant. In the big realm of your life, it's irrelevant. You know why? Here's the reason. Because when you stand in front of God on Judgment Day, you are not answering for what Sally Sue did. You're answering for what you did. That's why it's irrelevant, really, to you what they did. Sometimes you really are legitimately wrong and misunderstood, and sometimes you just don't like that person, and you're going to find a problem with whatever they do. And that's just the bottom line. So here's Paul, and he's saying, now this is my side of the story. Now, when you get to telling your side of whatever the misunderstanding was, you need to be able to be honest about it. Now, Paul, in here, he was being honest about it. And he says, our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relationship with you, in the holiness and sincerity that are from God. And what he's basically saying here is this: my conscience concerning you, concerning the living God, and concerning my relationship with you guys is clear and it's clean. Now, when you have a misunderstanding with someone or you're misunderstood, here's the first question that you need to ask yourself. Is my conscience clear concerning this misunderstanding? Is it clear? This must be a good word. You guys are soaking this up like a sponge. I was too when God gave it to me. Because I started thinking. That's always scary. I always tell Frank, I was thinking. He goes, "Oh, God. God, Kelly, what were you thinking of?" No. Anyhow, Let me get this water here. He says, our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relationship with you, in the most holiness and sincerity that are from God. On your own, you're not the most holy person. On your own, you're not the most sincere person. But you can be those things in God. And when you have a misunderstanding with someone, you need to ask yourself, how is my conscience concerning this misunderstanding? Now, I can't preach out of y'all's life because I'm not all up into your business. How many of you are happy you don't have a pastor that's always in your business? Look here. I ain't up into your business, but I promise you, if you drag me up into it, I'll be in it. But once I'm in it, don't get mad when I'm all up in it. Because you drug me in it, and I'll remind you of it when we get down and dirty. Addressing your life. Are you okay, Chicago? He got a new haircut. How many of you like that haircut of his? Looking awesome. If anybody misbehaves, Chicago's going to take you out back. It's my bodyguard. So anyways, is your conscience clear? Now I'm going to read you some notes that I took about misunderstanding because a lot of people, I had a guy ask me one time, do you just get your messages offline? Well, no, I don't. I don't get them offline, and they don't come to me in a book from Amazon. I get these from the Holy Spirit, and usually what happens is I'll sit down and I'll begin to meditate, and the majority of the time I will preach out of the overflow of what has gone on in my life. The reason I do that is because that's what I know. I can't preach about things that I don't know about because then I'll look real dumb. I've sat in messages where I was listening to people and they didn't have a clue what they were talking about, and it was boring. So when I preach, I'm going to preach about something that I know. When you are misunderstood about something, the first thing you have to do is evaluate and ask yourself, does my conscience bother me about any part of this misunderstanding? How many of you, you've had a misunderstanding with someone, and there was something inside of your conscience that was kind of pricked because you knew that you weren't quite right either? That's where you got to start. That's where you got to start. When God told me that the other day, I was like, darn it. I don't want to start there. I would like to start on the other person. No, God says, Kelly, we're going to start here. Because until you can clear your conscience, you can't go any further than that. So Paul's saying, I have a clear conscience. We have done so not according to worldly wisdom, but according to God's grace. So many times when there is a misunderstanding with people, and especially with believers, the most important thing here is it says, we have done so not according to worldly wisdom. So you shouldn't be handling misunderstandings the way that the world would. Well, how would the world handle them? Well, the world might cuss somebody out. The world may bop them. The world may give them the silent treatment. The world may shun them. The world may do all these things. And sadly, I think I've done most of those things. As a Christian, actually. People are going, oh my God, the pastor cussed somebody out way back when. I've done it back in my youthful days, and it left me very grieved because I knew better when I did it. But we shouldn't handle misunderstandings that way. We should do it in a godly way. And Paul's saying, you know what? My conscience is clear, and the way that I've handled you, I handled you with the grace that God gave me to handle you. Then he goes on. And he writes in verse 13, for we do not write you anything that you cannot read or understand. And I hope that as you have understood us in part, you will come to understand fully that you can boast of us just as we will boast of you in the day of the Lord. What he's saying when he in verse 13, and he says, "For we do not write you anything that you cannot read or understand." How many of you have ever been trying to get to the bottom of a misunderstanding and you still can't understand that person because they're just too wordy? Just like, whoa. I've been in little spats with people, and I've had to like take an intermission and be like, wait a second, what are we arguing about? Because you're talking so much, I cannot even remember what we got up into it about or why I was misunderstanding you. Be open and communicate real clear. A lot of misunderstandings, the number one reason why we have them is because people don't communicate clear. That's why the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Now, I'm bad about that. People will ask me a question, well, do you want to do such and such? Well, I know right off the bat I don't want to do it. I'll mealy mouth around. Well, you know, I got a lot of stuff to do on Tuesday, but I mean, if an open time comes open for me, I may, you know, that kind of answer, that don't work good. Because people are going to misunderstand you. I can think about misunderstandings that I've been in. And I've learned, I've had people ask me things. How many of you ever had somebody ask you something and it caught you off guard and you didn't know what to say? I've had that happen to me, and I just honestly didn't know what to say. And so instead of just saying, that's none of your business, or I don't have to answer that question, I answered it and the person felt like I was lying to them. You have to learn to avoid misunderstandings. And the way that you avoid them, if at all possible, sometimes you can avoid them, but some of the way that you can is to communicate with people clearly. There's so many times people are going to catch you off guard. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't do real well when I'm caught off guard. There's no telling what I'm going to say when I get caught off guard because I don't even know. I find out usually when the other person hears it. That's bad. But you know what? It's okay to just say, you know what? We're not going to go there right now. That's okay to say that. But what we can't do is mealy mouth around about it. I can look back at this situation, and in that moment, what I should have said is, we're not going to talk about this in this conversation. Right. And it would have saved me a lot of heartache. Misunderstandings are going to happen. And when they happen, your conscience at the end of the day needs to be clean and clear. And if they're not, that's where you got to start. There's undoubtedly many parts about the situation that makes you feel justified, but there may be parts where you were wrong. And that goes back to where we want to defend ourselves. And we want to say, well, yeah, I was a little wrong. And I've done that. Every time I repeat this scenario to myself with this misunderstanding that I'm going through, here's what I say, and it's terrible because I realize that it's sin. And here's what it is. Well, yeah, I was wrong. I was a little wrong, but they were a lot wrong. Now, I'm a hard-headed person. You can't tell that stuff to God and Him not correct you. And here's where the rubber meets the road. You're never going to get healed from the hurt that that misunderstanding caused you if you can't admit you're wrong. How many of you, you've had a misunderstanding and you're hurt over that? It's hurtful. God doesn't want you living in a continual state of hurt, but that's your choice. And if you don't want to live hurting anymore, what you have to do is you have to be honest with yourself. And you have to say, you know what? There was a part there that it was all me and it was wrong. I'm not even going to bring into the picture, God, what that person did. Because, see, really it doesn't matter. Concerning me, that was wrong for me. And I shouldn't have said it. I shouldn't have done it. I should have been better. I should have been classier than that. And, God, I crossed over a boundary with what I said. I was, I don't even remember what day it was, but one day this week I went over to my mom and dad's house. And, you know, sometimes you just need to sit and talk to your mama. And those of you that still got your mama, talk to her while you can. Amen. She won't always be here. And I just was helping her with some computer thing. And I just sat back and I said, Mom, now I need you to minister to me. And she's real soft-spoken, and she said, well, okay, Kelly Mae, just what's going on? Man, I felt like I was at the shrink's office. I just reclined back in that chair, and I just told it all to her. Just leaned back, just reclined back, and I said, well, let me just tell you. And I just went through the line. And I said, Mom, I hurt over this every day, over this misunderstanding every day. And she just kept listening. If you ever have a really bad day, what you need to do is get on the phone with Sister Millie and go over to her house and sit in that chair I was in the other day and let her minister to you, because she is the most comforting person ever. And Tierney, she began to minister to me, and she said, you know, Kelly, there's a lot of healing that needs to take place in your life. And she said, the situation is just really raw. She said, you need to let God heal that part of you, and then you can move on. Where does healing start? It starts with you. And it starts with saying, you know what? There was a part there that my conscience wasn't completely clear. And you know what? It's good when you can go through life's experiences and you can say, my conscience is clean as a whistle. Sometimes you can say that and sometimes you can't. But if you can't, you better get that conscience cleared up. Why? Because there's a sin there that you haven't gotten under the blood. That's why. If your conscience isn't clear, that's because there's sin up in there somewhere. He who tries to cover his sin cannot prosper. You cannot prosper when you're still covering up sin. But if you confess with your mouth, see, it starts with that. My father-in-law has been down this whole weekend, and I love him dearly. He is one of those people that he's happy most of the time, and he wakes up in the morning and he sings. I'm like, Frank, we got to have him move in. I like that. It gets me in a good mood just hearing that. And he was laughing. He said, Kelly, they had a big shindig up at the Subiaco Academy. Everybody in his family has done graduated from the academy. And so that's their thing. And they're all so smart because they went there. And he said, I got to go to confession. I was thinking, maybe I need to go to some confession. I don't know. But confess. Confess that stuff. Get it out of you. Get that thing under the blood and get it out of your life, because it's going to tear you up from the inside out. If there is a part where your conscience isn't clear, that's where we start. Most of the strife, the unforgiveness, the hurt feelings, the misunderstandings, most of those things come from people's unwillingness to clear their own conscience. And I want to ask you today, have you been unwilling at times to clear your own conscience? Now, if anybody's wondering what I'm talking about, it looks like this. You're still being a stubborn old mule, and you're still hanging on to the fact you think you was right and justified. Let me tell you something. You probably weren't entirely. And that misunderstanding will bother you till the day you die if you don't get that out of there. You know how many family members, people, their family gets all jacked up because of a misunderstanding? You know how many people's Thanksgiving tables, families can't even come together because they're too stubborn? Amen? I remember way back in the day, we used to take family pictures, all of us. Well, here was the problem with that. Them family pictures kept getting weirder and weirder. Why? People couldn't agree. Dad used to, when we were growing up, he used to let, if we dated a guy for a long time, he'd let us have them boys in there. Let me tell you something. We got to just stick a post-it note on their face. Because they're gone. They're gone. We quit having them family pictures. I was thinking the other day, the only pictures we're going to be having is one of the grandbabies. They're the for sure ones we ain't going to get cross with. The kids. Now look, if y'all can't handle a little humor from my family, you should see some of the pictures. It's hilarious. I look at them now. I found one the other day. One of me and my old boyfriend. I was thinking, what a joke. God, thank you for wisdom on that. Lord, have mercy. But most of people's problem is they just won't clear their conscience. They just won't clear it. Misunderstandings are often left unsettled. We think we've moved past them, but when we have a bad day or get triggered, we are right back in that moment. Case in point, the other day, Wednesday, I woke up and I did not feel good. Now, how many of you know what Wednesday is for me? Wednesday's crazy. Wednesday, I get up real early, we go and do the food ministry. Then, go back home, shower, come right back to church, have church. Well, I woke up not feeling good. And here was my options. Either go to the doctor or do the food distribution. Well, guess what I did? The food distribution. Well, by the time I got done with the food distribution, I was feeling real terrible. And I thought, I'm going to march my happy little rear end right up into the clinic and just ask them if they can see me. Because you know what? You're dumb if you don't even ask. The worst they can tell you is no. And then I'm going to crybaby around and tell them how sick I am until they tell me yes. So that's what I did. I went in there and they said, well, Pastor Kelly, We had lots of openings this morning. And I said, I'm sure you did. I was busy feeding Logan County this morning. And they said, well, you know what? We're going to see you. And I said, all right. Thank you. We did all that stuff. I was feeling really sick. How many of you, when you're sick, you're more emotional? I was just on the verge of tears. I just did not feel good. And I was just over it. Go up into the clinic, go up into the pharmacy, they won't give me my medicine. Well, they won't give me my medicine because the doctor called it into Kelly Sprick in California. I said, look, it's me. I'm Kelly Sprick in Arkansas. What do you mean you're not giving me my medicine? They said, we can't give you your medicine. I literally, my crazy self starts crying. I'm like, oh. I said, do you people know how sick I am right now? I am sick. And I don't feel good. I said, what do I need to do? Do I need to go to that clinic and tell them they messed that up? They said, yeah, that's what you need to do. And then I really started crying. I was walking out of Walmart, madder than a wet hen. And I thought, I'm going to call Frank. tell him he's going to have to come down here and get my medicine because I'm getting really bent out of shape and crazy. And I just sat there for a minute because I don't want him to know entirely how crazy I am yet. We've only been married for 5 months, so he don't need to know that. So I'm sitting here and I'm praying. And I get on the phone, call the clinic, because I thought, I was in the van. My driving skills with the van aren't, like, perfected yet. And I didn't want to have a visit with the police officers that day either. So I was like, all right. So I called the clinic. Got some calling center. That was frustrating. Then I called the Walmart pharmacy, and I said, I'm out in your parking lot. And then I just start crying again. I said, I feel so sick right now. Are y'all sure you can't just give me that medicine? She said, you know what, Kelly? All these girls up in here know who you are. We're going to give you that medicine. Praise the Lord. I marched my little happy butt right back up in there. And I'll be darned. I have never been treated so well in my life. When I turned the corner to that pharmacy, that pharmacist was waiting with my medicine and a cold glass of water for me. Actually, it was a bottle of water. And she said, Pastor Kelly, we don't want you to be sick one more moment than you have to be. Here's your water and here's your medicine. Now look here. There was a misunderstanding up in that situation. In more than one way. Now, I was in the medical field for 14 years before I ever pastored. And I began to, in my brain, think of all the dumb things that it took to make that mistake. And God just said, stop it. Stop. Everybody makes mistakes. Do you know that everybody makes mistakes? Amen. Do you know that the people that you've misunderstood, they've made mistakes? When you're misunderstood, you've made a mistake. There's times where we just make mistakes. Well, guess what? Guess what I did after I took that medicine, Brother Paul? I went home, I got in the shower, and I was right back here at church. You know why? Because that's where I'm supposed to be. Be where you're supposed to be, not where you feel like being. I didn't feel like being at church, but you know what? I was here. Is this a guilt trip? No. Because people, if you've been slacking, you know you're slacking, and I don't have to tell it to you. At the end of the night, I crawled up into bed. And that doctor messaged me on Messenger, and they said, Pastor Kelly, are you okay? I'm so sorry. And God said, you know what, Kelly, that person needed to clear their conscience before they went to bed, and they felt bad. How many times have you gone to bed feeling bad about something that you did, and you just were too darn stubborn to just make it right? Folks, we got to do better. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Why? Because wrath turns into all sorts of stuff. And you end up an irritated, rude, bitter person. When you have a misunderstanding with somebody, a lot of times you love that person. Don't let a misunderstanding come up in between somebody and that you love. Don't let it come in between you and a stranger. I was sitting at the, what did we go to last night? What is that called?
It was the dinner at the Subiaco reunion.
They had a Subiaco reunion. All the Spricks and all the alumni and all these men. It's an all-boys school. Obviously, we all know that because none of us girls ever got to go there. Right. Well, I was sitting up in there. What kind of steak did we eat last night?
Ribeye.
Everybody in that place got a ribeye steak. I was amazed. I was like, oh, my gosh, I want to go to school here. They gave us all ribeyes. We were sitting there eating. And I love meeting new people. And I love old people especially. And there was this little old guy. And then there was his younger brother. And then there was the younger brother's son. And then we were sharing a table with some other folks, too. We were all at this table, didn't know each other. And this old guy, I could tell he had some health problems, and he had told me he was a diabetic. They gave us the biggest pieces of cake ever. And they were like layered cakes, like all the good things in there, like fudge, chocolate cake, some other things. I mean, it was layered to the hilt with all sorts of goodness in there. And the brother had brought his cake there, and he had it. Well, the older brother didn't have his cake because he ain't supposed to be eating cake. And he looked at his brother, and he goes, well, where's my cake? And he goes, well, do you want some? No, I'm not supposed to be eating stuff like that. You know that. I'm like, this is my kind of people. That's how I communicate. This is great. He goes, no, no, no. And he felt bad for him. He said, I'm going to go and get you some cake. You know how siblings are. They're going to do whatever they want to do anyway. So just let them. Well, he goes off, and there was all sorts of people. It took a long time for him to get this cake for his brother. So I'm sitting here by this older gentleman, and I really started growing very fond of him, and I'll tell you why. He got his fork, and he scooted his brother's cake over. And that cake, no kidding, was sitting this high off of the plate. It was stacked. And he began to eat the lower level of the cake, not the top, but he started at the bottom. And then as the crumbles fell, he would scoop the crumbles back up and try to make it look like he didn't eat the cake. So then his brother comes, and he plops himself down. His brother was probably, I don't know, maybe about 60 years old or something. Other guy, there's no telling how old he was older. And he brings his brother the puniest looking piece of pie ever. It was like this big, and the other cake was like humongous. And he sticks that there, and that little guy just smiles, and the brother gets his cake, and we all just sat there. I felt like I was on pins and needles, like, I'm not ratting this guy out. And he goes, then he asks the one guy goes, do you want to try a bite of my cake? And we all started laughing. Frank, he's already tried lots of the cake. But I laughed because I thought, that's just hilarious how silly sometimes misunderstandings start. So crazy. He's like, do you want cake? No. You know I shouldn't be eating that. And I'm like, just the way people communicate with each other these days is so unclear. No wonder why hurt feelings and misunderstandings happen all the time. And you know what? Be clear. Be clear with people. And make sure that your conscience is clear. Let's go to Psalms chapter 139. Actually, let me see here. Y'all stay in Psalms, and I'm going to finish up this verse. And Paul said in verse 13, he said, for we do not write you anything you cannot read or understand. And I hope that as you have understood us in part, you will come to understand us fully, that you can boast of us just as we will boast of you in the day of the Lord Jesus. And you know, sometimes when there's been a misunderstanding, we don't feel the need to make them understand us completely. And you know what? Then there's a relationship that suffers in the middle of that. Well, they shouldn't be asking me that question. I don't owe them anything, or I don't this and I don't that. Well, that kind of attitude will get you into a good 4, 5, 6, 7 month feud with somebody, and who knows if it'll ever be right again. Is your conscience clear? Be open and communicate openly, and realize that sometimes people only understand you in part. They only understand a part of what actually went on in that situation. Have you ever looked at somebody and you thought something about them only to find out that you misunderstood them? They had a lot more going on than what you could clearly see. That's how misunderstandings happen. They happen all the time. And people spend their life in the middle of a misunderstanding many times because people are stubborn. They're set in their ways and they're stubborn. And that's only hurting us. It's only hurting you. Clear up misunderstandings. There's information about you in the situation that they don't know or they don't realize. They understand you in part. And you can't get frustrated when people only see the one part that they can see. Strive to help them understand fully. And Paul, he went the extra mile and he said, you know, I can see that right now you only understand me in part. You only understand this little part. But I'm going to work towards letting you see the full part, the whole story, because I would not offend you or hurt your feelings or cancel these plans on you just because I'm a flaky, fickle person. I care about this relationship, and I'm going to explain it. And then he goes on in the rest of that chapter and in chapter 2, and he explains why he did what he did. Now, in Psalms chapter 139, we're going to start at verse 1. And misunderstandings, they're going to happen. That's just the gist of it. In this life, we're going to have misunderstandings. And oftentimes, misunderstandings make us feel lonely. I dearly, dearly love the person that I'm stuck in the middle of a misunderstanding. And there's been so many times where I've just wanted to call them up on the phone and just say, let's just stop this. This is stupid. I was wrong. But then there's that part of me, Bobby, there's still some stubbornness. Because then the devil and myself, I can't even hardly probably blame it on the devil. It's probably all me. I get to thinking about what they did. And then I just go right back round and round. We got to get to that point that when we're wanting to address that misunderstanding, we're not concerned with what they did. Now, somebody that's never going to misunderstand you is God. And God understands you better than you understand you. And in verse 1 it says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive or know my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. And you are familiar with all of my ways. See, nobody knows you like God. That's why misunderstandings happen. Nobody's going to know everything that's going on with you. There's times where I'll be going about and I have to keep my concentration. Are y'all like that? If I got something on my brain, tyranny, I have to work really hard to keep it there. There's a lot of times I've got that thing in my brain, Tyler, and I got to do it or I'm going to forget it. And when I get like that, I got a one-track mind. We're going to go and we're going to... That's it. Well, a lot of times I'll come to church or something and I've got that thing that I got to take care of and Miss Mary will meet me and I just brush on past her because I'm like, oh, I got to get to that or I'm going to forget it. And then she'll say, and I always feel awful because she'll say, Pastor, have I done something wrong? You just seem short with me. Now look here, every pastor needs a Miss Mary. That's the truth. I always clear that up real quick. Why? Because I don't want there to be a misunderstanding with us. No, Miss Mary, I'm a jerk, and I had this thing on my brain, and I had to take care of it, before it left my brain. And we're good. That's just how easy, though, misunderstandings can happen. How many of you thought somebody was edgy with you and then you got mad at them? They didn't answer the phone right. I know a lot of times me and my sister, we always laugh because Dad will call us. And we'll get to talking to him. And then he's like, well, I got to go. I'll be like, well, you called me. Or he'll say, I know you're really, really busy, Kelly. Super busy. You're just the busiest person I know. I know you're really busy. You're busy, aren't you? I'm like, yeah. Well, look here. What I've come to realize is that I need to slow down because my parents don't need to misunderstand me. And there's been times where I knew they misunderstood me and I didn't do anything about it, and I should have just cleared it up and just said, I'm not too busy for y'all, I'm just struggling. Mm-hmm. And I don't want you to watch me do it. See, sometimes when you're really hurting, it makes you a certain way. And people can misunderstand you. And I was telling my mom the other day, I said, you know what, Mom? I'm just hurting right now. But I would never do anything to dishonor you or to make you feel like I don't love you. I said, I'm going to repent to you right now. When it comes to people that you really, really love, you got to work really, really hard to not have those misunderstandings with them. When it's just acquaintances, you don't need to have the misunderstandings with them either. But by golly, the devil wants to get up inside of your family and split you right down the middle. How can I preach about it? I've lived it. I've lived it and lived to tell about it. And it's the most grievous thing. Don't let that stuff, right, Brother Charlie? There's nothing that will it's just like a pain I cannot even describe. And all over a stupid misunderstanding. And more stupid than that, a stupid stubbornness that we can't get a hold of. Make it right. Make it right. It says, before a word is on my tongue, God, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind, and before me, and you have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me and too lofty for me to attain. Now I want to tell you something. Wherever you're at in your life, God has put his hand on you. He's not taking his hand off of you. So many times when we've done wrong or we've done this or we've done that, we think, well, God's mad at me. God's not mad at you. So many times when we've felt so bad about something and we want forgiveness for something and God has forgiven us, but we don't feel forgiven. Look here, just because you don't feel forgiven doesn't mean that you're not forgiven. What does God say? As far as the east is from the west, there I've removed your transgressions from you. Somebody needs to get a hold of that. Just because you don't feel like it doesn't mean that you're not. Feelings aren't facts. Last place for me, Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 28 through 31. Do you not know and have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. Look here. God was here before your problem. He'll be there after. He's lasting through the whole thing. He's not leaving you. He's not forsaking you. He's with you. So let Him guide you. Let Him guide you. He will not grow tired or weary. Some of us, our biggest problem is that we're tired and we're weary. I'm going to say that one more time. Some of us, our main problem is that we're tired and we're weary. If you're tired and weary this morning, I want you to raise your hand. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you right now, God. You're giving people rest in here, God, emotionally, spiritually, physically. And God, right now, every bit of weariness, God, I ask that you would take it off of your children in here, God. Lord, give us a peace of mind. God, give us resolve. Lord, in the areas, God, where we need to repent, God, give us grace enough to do it. Lord, in the areas where we need to show mercy, God, give us the classiness to do that also. Lord, right now, for every person that's got a heavy heart, Lord, I pray, God, for that person. Lord, and I thank you that you've met them in that place right now. In Jesus' name, amen. He will not grow tired or weary in his understanding. What are we talking about this morning? Misunderstandings. God's understanding, no one can fathom. When you feel misunderstood, when you feel disappointed, when you feel like somebody did you wrong, he will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. What does that mean? You can't even imagine how much God understands you. You can't even imagine how much he understands what you're going through. What can we do with such a good understanding God? Trust him. Trust him. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Look here. If you feel weak in here this morning, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Why? Because the Word of God says that he's increasing your power right in that weak spot. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord, where's your hope at this morning? You can't put it in anything else but God, but when you put it in God, you're good. But those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. What does it take to get your strength back? Hope in God. Can't put it in anything else, but when you put it in God, your strength is going to be renewed. They will soar on wings like eagles. You can't soar with the eagles if you're going to pecker around with the chickens. What does that mean? Rise above all that silly stuff that gets you so uptight all the time. Rise above the stuff that you misunderstand. When people misunderstand you, look here. Rise above that. Don't hold it against them. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. I asked God, I said, Lord, I don't know if this message is going to be for anybody but me. But Lord, I'll preach it till the cows come home. But if you're out there this morning and you can say, you know what, there's some people that there's been a misunderstanding. And I want God to help me to clear that up. I'm going to ask you to stand up because, see, God doesn't want you in that place. A lot of times in that place, there's unforgiveness. I'm standing too. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for every person, God, that's responded to this word. God, we need you to help us. Lord, I ask you right now, God, that if there's pride in our heart, Lord, that you would take that out of us. God, make us humble. Lord, help us to see where we missed it, God, and to just focus on that. And Lord, help us to make that place right, God. And Lord, restore us joy. In Jesus' name, amen.